What is going on, friends? Welcome to My Weekly Mixtape, the show that takes the classic mixtape approach to building a modern playlist. I'm your host, Brian Colburn, and tonight I am here to count down a dozen top country songs from the year 2025. Now, I know what you're thinking. I can just go on Apple Music or Spotify and look at the top 20 songs from the year. You certainly can do that. My list is probably not going to align with that very much. Certainly, there's going to be some crossover, I'm sure, because I listen to all sorts of country music. So there's going to be the top hits as well as some stuff that digs a little deeper. But I feel like 2025 was a year in country music that really branched out in many different directions. And country music as a whole has been doing that a lot over the last decade. And I think more and more, especially in 2024 and 2025, we are seeing country music kind of cross-pollinate with so many different genres that it's almost becoming hard to distinguish what country music is versus what straight-up rock or pop is. And I find that very interesting because there's some pop songs that'll just incorporate some country elements, but not necessarily be country. And then vice versa. So it's definitely been blurring the lines over what country music is over the last several years, especially. And I think some of that's going to come through in my picks tonight. But with that, I want to know what songs resonated with you on your country playlists this year. So be sure to reach out to me, myweeklymixtape@gmail.com. I'm on all the social media haunts at myweeklymixtape. You can also use the contact page over at myweeklymixtape.com, or you can join the Mixtaper community over at patreon.com/myweeklymixtape. Over there, I was having a conversation with Chad LaMassa about his top country song of the year, which was Ashley Kutcher's Hey Girl, and he even brought up the fact that she started out pop but has since gone country. And I feel like that's part of this crossover conversation that I'm going to be talking about tonight, because a lot of these songs are cross-pollinated with other genres. And I can understand and respect the argument that would go both ways there, because some people feel like they want their country to stay as pure as it was in the 70s, 80s, and then obviously in the 90s when things started to change, because country music started to make this change in the 90s. With artists like Garth Brooks and Shania Twain that really drove that crossover narrative. And other people are kind of welcome to seeing wherever it goes. Now me, if you listen to this show week in and week out, you know my musical palette spans all genres and is all over the place. So the more the genre evolves and stretches its boundaries, the better as far as I'm concerned. But I understand where some people just might not resonate with it. But in this playlist tonight, I'm trying to touch on both sides of the spectrum so that way you can get an idea of stuff that is staying true to the old school country sound, to stuff that stays in that modern country wheelhouse, as well as the stuff that's kind of branching out in all different directions, which might be where the genre is headed in the future. And along with Chad, Sean Goff chimed in with Peace of Mind by Amanda Shires, saying it definitely has some good country roots, and he thinks the song has enough of a today's country sound to qualify. But as we're going to find out a little later on throughout this episode, a today's country sound could mean a lot of different things. And I feel like Amanda's music definitely speaks to that argument for sure. Because Peace of Mind has a gritty, almost southern rock drive to it that maybe a decade ago might not have been included in the country conversation, but now it 100% fits. And taking that to the next extreme, Tom Hutchison chimed in with a song that he actually discovered through the show, so thank you very much, Tom. He went with Lakeview's Home Team, saying it fits with his style of music, and this year for him, the rest of the country year was a bit too poppy for his tastes, and I could definitely see that, but Lakeview, not so much when it comes to poppy. Lakeview is the other side of the spectrum. They are hard rock, almost metal country music. Yes, you heard that correctly. And it may be something we talk about a little bit later on. So for now, I'm going to put a pin in what Tom had to say right there. So once again, if you want to join the Mixtaper community, which is free to do, you can do so over at patreon.com/myweeklymixtape. So without further ado, let's dive into 12 of the top country songs that truly moved the needle for me in 2025. And I'm going to be perfectly honest and out myself right from the beginning. Some of these songs came out in late 2024, but took on a life of their own throughout 2025. So they'll be included tonight, including my first pick, which was a top 10 country hit and cracked the Billboard Hot 100. This is an artist that is probably not a shock to many modern country fans. He's been around since the early 2000s. And if you're a huge fan of The Voice, I'm sure you're very familiar with him pointing to himself whenever he wants to be selected as a coach. That would be Blake Shelton. And I'm going to go with a song that he released in November of 2024, but the album For Recreational Use Only dropped in early 2025, and that is Texas. This is one of those songs that fall under the modern country music wheelhouse category for me. It checks all the boxes of what modern country is. It definitely has the modern production and sound to it, but there's also some elements and notes that kind of bring you back into the early 2000s and even maybe a hat tip or a nod to the 1990s country sound, which I kind of like. And I'll say that for selfish reasons, because that's when I was introduced to country. It was in the mid-90s. The first country song I ever enjoyed was John Michael Montgomery's Soul, thanks to my college roommate. So that sound and that vibe always sticks and resonates with me. And I feel like through artists such as Zach Top, Luke Combs, Lainey Wilson, and some of the other artists we might get into this evening, that sound is kind of making its way back when you do that rotation, that throwback vibe. I'm hearing 90s country start to creep in and out of music again. And I think it's a refreshing change because it's no secret that what's old is new again happens over and over again in the music scene. This could be rock, hip hop, country. The sounds come back in and out of style. That's why there's a lot of rock bands right now that are embracing that 70s flavor and some even embracing the early 2000s divorced dad rock. Music is very cyclical, and I have no problem with it circling back around to an era that I am extremely fond of, whether that be through nostalgia or through what the artists are actually bringing to the table to take that sound to a different place. But Texas is definitely one of those ones that immediately grabbed me the first time I heard it, and it's one that I listened to throughout the whole year for recreational use only. Could possibly be one of my favorite Blake Shelton albums that he's ever released. It's solid from start to finish. There is a duet with Gwen Stefani on it. And as much as I love her stuff with No Doubt, she can handle a country tune and their voices work really well together. Now, anybody that listens to this show knows I'm a huge third wave ska fan. I love No Doubt. I even enjoy Gwen's solo stuff from the 2000s. I think her voice is one of the ones that can kind of bounce from genre to genre effortlessly. And she's done country stuff before and it works. She's done pop. She's done ska. She just fits in any genre. And that's something I've always loved about her voice. The duet's a fantastic listen. It's called Hanging On if you want to look that one up. But Texas was a song that I felt myself going back to more and more as the year went on. So kicking off things tonight, Blake Shelton's Texas. Also in November of 2024, Thomas Rhett dropped a single featuring Teddy Swims, Something About a Woman. It was from his About a Woman album. So yes, it was released in November of 24, but included on the 2025 deluxe edition of the album. This is where that cross-pollinization of music starts to come into play here. Teddy Swims kind of has a lock on that modern pop soul vibe. However, when you mix it in with Thomas Rhett's Something About a Woman, the two really merge together well. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, you could play this song on top 40 radio and it would work just as well as it did on country radio. Probably my favorite all-time Thomas Rhett song. I think this vibe and this sound suits his voice really well. And I think the interplay with Teddy Swims, even though there is a version with just Thomas Rhett alone, I think the duet suits the song better. But then again, in 2024, I was singing Teddy Swims' praises, and I'm still continuing to do so all throughout 2025. Teddy Swims is one of those artists that, if he wanted to, could drop an entire country album with a little bit of that soul touch, similar to what Marcus King did on his 2025 album, Darling Blue, which is another incredible listen. I feel like he could slide seamlessly into the country scene and would be universally accepted. He's already done it with pop, and I feel like Teddy Swims is one of those artists that can do just about anything. Last year, I dropped an episode talking about my favorite cover versions of Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer, and Teddy Swims made the cut, and he turned Cruel Summer into a power ballad, and it works so well, almost has a country vibe to it. So who knows, maybe we'll see something like that from Teddy Swims in the future. But following up Blake Shelton's Texas, we got Thomas Rhett and Teddy Swims' Something About a Woman. And I'm going to follow one duet up with another. This song actually dropped in April of 2025, so finally an all 2025 song, something that's not from 2024. That would be Hayley Witters featuring Molly Tuttle's Prodigal Daughter from Hayley's Corn Queen album, which I think is absolutely a hysterical album title. Molly on this track plays guitar and sings background vocals, which lends kind of a bluegrass vibe to this song. And I want to say it gives it an early 2000s Chicks vibe. And I'm almost hesitant to say that because a lot of people compare Hayley's voice to Natalie Maines. And I don't want to go down that road because while I hear some tonal similarities, I feel like Hayley stands out on her own. But then again, when you listen to a track like this, when Molly's harmonies drop into the fold, I could definitely see where people would compare it to the Chicks. But is that really a bad group to compare it to when you're talking about a country sound that has a little bit of that bluegrass vibe? I mean, they kind of paved the way in the 90s and 2000s of what that sound should be. But in no way, shape, or form do I consider Hayley to be just a carbon copy of Natalie Maines. I feel like she's carved her own path, and I feel like she's got something special going on. Corn Queen is an incredible album that also features collaborations with Charles Wesley Godwin and the Wilder Blue. So there's a little bit of touch of that bluegrass sound, a little bit of modern country. It's a little less bluegrass than some of her earlier albums, but I feel like it didn't sway too far out of the way that fans of her earlier work might wonder what the hell is going on. No, this is a fantastic album and one that I highly recommend if you haven't heard it all the way through. So now I'm going to go back to a solo artist, no more collaborations for now. And I'm going to go with one that once again was released in 2024, but the album didn't drop until 2025. And this one's kind of egregious, so I'm going to apologize in advance because this came out in the fall of 2024 and very easily could have made my Songs of 2024 playlist, that being John Party's Friday Night Heartbreaker. It was a top 10 country airplay hit. This song has such a groove to it. It's sultry. It sits in that minor key. It's one of those songs that, I mean, it's right there in the title, Friday Night. And it feels like one of those songs that you can listen to on a late night drive. It's just got that groove to it. And while it's a make no mistake modern country song, I feel like it starts to lean a little bit into the rock side of what John's put out in the past. And I like it. On John's Christmas album, he did an incredible cover of Counting Crows' A Long December. And I feel like some of that influence bled into this track. I know he used some of the same players on the song, and that might be where I'm catching that vibe from, but this song works. The entire Honky Tonk Hollywood album is great. John is such a consistent modern country artist, and I feel like John is one of those ones that does tip his hat time and time again to that 90s sound. And I feel like it's not to the point where you think it's on the nose, because it definitely has the modern sound baked into the music. But there's definitely a 90s heart at the core of this song. And it's one that was one of my favorites throughout the whole year and towards the end of 2024. So I'm kind of making up for not including it on my 2024 playlist by giving it the love it deserves now. But now we're going to start really leaning into that cross-pollinization a little bit. This next artist was one that I was lucky enough to be able to interview with Jay Sweet back in the Toon Styles days, but it was also featured in a bonus episode in season one of My Weekly Mixtape, because her career has exploded over the last few years, and that would be Morgan Wade. Now, this is a song she originally recorded in 2017 by her group Morgan Wade and the Step Brothers. However, in August of 2025, she released a new version of the song and named the album after it. The song is called The Party Is Over, and the album, The Party Is Over, and then in parentheses, Recovered. This song is everything I love about Morgan's music. The chorus is soaring and massive, and as far as I'm concerned, is custom built for arenas and stadiums. And I think I could say that that point comes from a place of extensive research, because I had the pleasure of seeing her open this past year for Shinedown and Bush on Shinedown's first ever appearance at New York City's Madison Square Garden. Thank you to the band for having me out that evening. I sincerely appreciate it. Morgan was the first artist on the bill. She played this song. Now, I know what you're wondering. This is a Shinedown and Bush show. Why is Morgan Wade on the bill? Have you heard The Party Is Over yet? Listen to the end. The song friggin' rocks. As far as I'm concerned, you do not need to have a genre when it comes to Morgan Wade. She could step into a rock show and tear up the stage just as much as she could for a country show. And look, the lines continue to get blurred, because if you've heard Searchlight, Shinedown's most recent song, it leans into country. And Shinedown debuted at the Grand Ole Opry this year. And just a few years back, this was something I spoke with Shinedown's drummer Barry Kirch about at length. Jelly Roll was the opening act for Shinedown. And I don't know, if you look at where his career's gone since opening for Shinedown, even in the country world, Shinedown helped open doors for Jelly Roll that weren't there before. And now they're doing the same thing for Morgan Wade. And Morgan Wade hat tips it right back to the rock genre, because on The Party Is Over Recovered, the bonus edition, because now this is something I can go into a total sidebar tangent about, but I'm going to save it for something in the new year. But artists have been increasingly, and I'm not sure if it's the artists themselves or the labels behind it, have been increasingly releasing deluxe editions of albums very shortly, and I mean within a few months of the standard version being released. It's not something I'm a huge fan of, because I immediately go out and support the album when it comes out, and I mean physical copies. I would prefer that artists start dropping the deluxe edition on the same day as the regular edition. Let me decide which version I want. I promise you it's always going to be the deluxe edition. But with that said, on the deluxe edition of The Party's Over, she does a fantastic cover of Radiohead's Creep that you should definitely check out. You know how I am with my cover songs. And, you know, I understand that there's Radiohead fans out there that are probably going, oh, he said Creep. Yeah, she does a fantastic version of Creep. And I'm one of those people. I'll admit it. It is my favorite Radiohead song. So apologies to the Radiohead fans out there that just lost a little bit of respect for me. But yes, I am that guy with zero shame, because music is subjective and it hits us all in different ways, and Creep is always going to resonate with me on a different level. And that's with zero disrespect to the rest of Radiohead's catalog. But I digress. We've talked enough about Radiohead. This is a country episode. Back to Morgan Wade. Now, if you've heard The Party Is Over, you know the end of the song goes double time and gets heavy as hell. So how would you come out of a song like that? For me, it's an absolute no-brainer, but once again, just like John Party's Friday Night Heartbreaker, I am going to dive earlier back into 2024 with an album that I regret did not make my 2024 playlist, but I am making good on it now in 2025. This is the album I probably listened to more than any country album in 2025, and that would be Lakeview's self-titled album. And the song that I'm going to go with to close out the first half of this 2025 country playlist is Home Team. Once again, I'll shout out Patreon mixtaper Tom Hutchinson, who also chimed in with this one. You want to talk about a song that gets the party started like no other, Home Team is one of those tunes. This is a country song that somehow, in the chorus, goes down the path of Disturbed. The riff is massive. This song is friggin' heavy. There's screaming in this song. This is everything that you would not expect a country song to be. But in 2025, the cross-pollinization, and I've probably said that word way too many times in this first half, is alive and well, and Lakeview is one of those bands that's carrying the torch and leading the way for this sound. This is a new sound of country music. Why do I say that? They've toured with Breaking Benjamin. They've toured with Stained. They've toured with country artists. They've been on country music festivals. The Barefoot Music Festival that takes place in Wildwood, New Jersey, Lakeview is on the bill. And then they go off and tour with Breaking Benjamin and Stained over the summer. They are introducing their music to two completely different audiences at the same time and making ground in both genres at once. Let's be honest, setting yourselves apart and making a name for yourself in this current music scene is hard enough to do in one genre, let alone multiple genres simultaneously, and yet Lakeview is here doing just that. Earlier this year, I had Cody Hansen of Hinder on the show to talk about the band's 2025 album, Back to Life, and we got into it about Lakeview. They are huge Lakeview fans. Lakeview are huge Hinder fans. Lakeview covered Lips of an Angel this year. Hinder was rocking out to Lakeview all year long, as Cody and I talked about. Just a few weeks back, Lakeview and Hinder did a show together and teamed up on Lips of an Angel. I am telling you, the lines are blurred. Country music is going down a path that has so many different off-ramps that I don't know if the world is ready for it, and I friggin' love it. So with that, the first half of my 2025 country music playlist, which kicked off with Blake Shelton's Texas, followed up by Thomas Rhett featuring Teddy Swims, Something About a Woman, Haley Witters featuring Molly Tuttle, Prodigal Daughter, John Party's Friday Night Heartbreaker, Morgan Wade's The Party Is Over, and Lakeview's Home Team. Head over to myweeklymixtape.com to hear all the songs I've discussed in this mix through the playlist embedded on the episode page. And now we're going to dive into the second half of my top 12 country songs of 2025. And this is one that, again, lines are blurred, because when I hear the name Larkin Poe, I don't immediately go country. To me, they're a blues rock group. But their latest album, Bloom, which dropped at the beginning of 2025, right in January, has a little bit of that country and Americana sound baked into what Larkin Poe has done in the past. And it works so very well. Now, Larkin Poe is a group that I don't know is on every country music fan's radar, and I want them to be. So I'm including it here tonight, because if you haven't heard Larkin Poe, you need to hear Rebecca and Megan Lavelle tear it up. That's right, they are sisters, and they are friggin' incredible. Go back through their whole catalog. You will not be disappointed. But in terms of 2025, I am going to go with the track Mockingbird, because I feel like it's got the most country-esque sound from the album, and I feel like it would be the easiest way for a country music purist to be introduced to their music and still be able to find path roads into wanting to listen to all of their other stuff. I feel it's the perfect gateway drug song to introduce a country fanatic to the world of Larkin Poe. I feel like Larkin Poe is one of those bands that's destined to be massive and just hasn't gotten that push over the top yet. And make no mistake about it, I'm not saying they are a small band. They are headlining blues festivals and concerts all over the country. I just don't feel like they're getting the mainstream attention that they deserve. They should be at every single one of these CMA music fests in front of thousands upon thousands of people, because not only does their music stand up with everybody else on that stage, it has an authentic and unique sound that sets them apart from anybody on those CMA stages. As far as I'm concerned, they should be a household name. Their harmonies are incredible. Their talent is off the charts. Every one of their albums is consistent from start to finish. I feel like they just need that one push to get over the top to become one of the biggest things in music. Is dipping into country the thing that does that? Maybe we'll find out in 2026, but they're still out on the road, touring all over the place. Be sure to check out Larkin Poe. You won't be disappointed. And Mockingbird is a killer, killer tune with some fantastic harmonies. The entire Bloom album is an experience. Along with the Lakeview album I mentioned earlier, probably one of my favorite, and I'll use quote marks, country albums of 2025. It's just that solid. But I feel like I need to right or wrong because a couple of songs I've dipped into tonight go way back into 2024, almost to a cheating degree, a little more than I feel comfortable with. So I want to drop a song now that is the newest song on this playlist, and it's only come out a month ago, but it hit so hard that I felt like it deserved a spot on the 2025 playlist, and I have a feeling it's going to be one that gets played a lot throughout 2026, not just for me, but I think for a lot of people, both in the country world as well as in the rock world, because I mentioned this band and song earlier when I was talking about Morgan Wade, but Shinedown has officially dipped their toe in the country music waters, if you will, on their 2025 single Searchlight, and it couldn't be a better introduction for the band. One of the songs from their last full-length release, Planet Zero, a track called A Symptom of Being Human, could have very easily slid into the country music world given the content and the way it plays out musically, but Searchlight really leans into it on both a musical and instrument level. Now, the song is still in the early stages of its release, so I haven't really seen the full spectrum of fan reaction to it. I think it's going to open Shinedown's music to a whole new audience, as Symptom already started down that path. Now, they have always had a little bit of a foot in that Southern rock sound. Their earlier albums had a touch of that. Obviously, their cover of Lynyrd Skynyrd's Simple Man is a staple that they play to this day, maybe much to the band's chagrin. And I will say that because I had the amazing opportunity to have both Eric Bass and Barry Kirch of Shinedown on the podcast this year. And we talked all things about the evolution of the band's music from the early days through the new music they're working on now, including Searchlight, which is going to be a part of Shinedown 8, which comes out in 2026. Now, I don't want to give too much away, but one of their songs that they also released this year made my Songs of 2025 episode, which if you haven't heard it, go back to last week's episode and check that out. That covers all genres, where this week is focused specifically on country and the offsets of it. And Shinedown really nailed it with this one. I feel like this one is going to be an absolute home run for the band. Now, lyrically, for me personally, having lost my father this year, some of the lyrics hit really close to home. No one taught me how to let go. Been hanging on a thread by a tightrope, but you could still learn what you don't know, that's for sure. The first time I heard those lyrics, it instantly made me well up. I feel like it's my father talking to me through music, because one of the last conversations that him and I had together was him telling me that I need to let all the negativity in my life go and just choose the things that bring me joy and bring me happiness. And I feel like this song really speaks to me in that sense, almost on a spiritual sense. And I don't get into much of that kind of conversation on the show, and I'm not going to. However, a song like this definitely moves the needle for me, both from a musical perspective as well as just a personal lyrical perspective. I hope to one day have Brent Smith on the show to be able to dive into his lyrics and solely his lyrics, because a lot of the stuff they talk about in their music resonates with me on a personal level. So maybe that's a goal for my weekly mixtape in 2026. However, coming out of Searchlight, I think I'm going to bring in another collaboration that also resonated with me a lot throughout the year. Again, on that musical and, dare I use the word, spiritual level. I feel like this next track flows pretty naturally out of Searchlight for both musical reasons at the song level, as well as artists who are connected to each other on the stage, either through touring or other things like that. And again, go back to a song that was released in 2024. However, this collaboration came out in February of this year. So I feel like I'm getting a little bit of a get out of jail free card, I guess you'll call it. And this is another big cross-pollinization of genres here, because this artist is contemporary Christian. And I'm going to go with Brandon Lake featuring Jelly Roll, who I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the Morgan Wade and Shinedown connection, from his King of Hearts album. And I'm going to go with Hard Fought Hallelujah. Besides the stranglehold this song had on the contemporary Christian charts, as well as the country charts, it was also a Billboard Hot 100 Top 40 hit. So this blazed all sorts of trails. The song is powerful and it's emotional and it definitely grabs you by the heartstrings. If you're not a person of faith, it might not resonate with you as much. But who am I to say? To me, this song, considering the fact it was a top 40 hit, obviously means it resonated with a lot of people. And look, I had to include Jelly Roll in some facet this year. Not only has the dude put out some fantastic music, he took some incredible bumps at SummerSlam this year, if you are a WWE fan. And not only did he take some major bumps, he took the pinfall. And if anybody's a wrestling fan, I'm not going to go too deep into my wrestling nerddom here, but for a guest musician to appear on a WWE show, usually they give them the victory. And he took the three count, which is something you don't see. So hat tip to Jelly Roll for that. He actually handled himself so well in the ring that I would not be disappointed to see him show up again for another round. And then earlier, like I mentioned, there's that connection to Shinedown. Shinedown brought Jelly Roll out on tour with them several years ago before he really broke it big in the country scene. And now Shinedown releases a song that I think is going to be a huge staple on country radio as we feed into 2026. Coincidence? Maybe, maybe not. But the common denominator is Jelly Roll. But I also don't want to make this all about Jelly Roll. The original is by Brandon Lake, and the original is fantastic in and of itself without the collaboration. The collaboration just gives it that little something extra that puts it over the edge, gave it that crossover appeal, made the song more mainstream because Jelly Roll is a mainstream name in 2025. And I feel like him attaching himself to Brandon's music has put a huge spotlight on Brandon's music moving forward. And I'll be very curious to see where his career goes. But as far as 2025 is concerned, it's all about Hard Fought Hallelujah. But with that, it's going to be the last time I dip back into 2024. I've done that enough this year. The last three songs I'm going to go with tonight all came out in the summer of 2025. And all three have pretty much been on nonstop repeats since each of their respective releases. And I feel like these are the three that need to close out my 2025 playlist. And I can guarantee all three of them will be a huge part of my 2026 country playlist as well. The first being Ashley McBride's Rattlesnake Preacher, which was released as a single in June of 2025. This song flat out rocks. And this is the type of song I can hear Blackberry Smoke pulling out in a show and gender flipping the shit out of it, and it's sounding amazing. It's a country song, make no mistake about it, but there's almost a touch of Southern rock in the underlying elements of this track that really set it apart from some of the other stuff Ashley's done over the years. Now, Ashley McBride is no stranger to all the award shows. I've seen her on TV many a times doing her thing. She's still only playing theaters, and I have a feeling like her time is coming. She's going to take that jump to the next level because she just has that it factor. And if Rattlesnake Preacher is the first taste of what her next album is going to be, I feel like this is going to be the album that truly puts her into the top pantheon of female country artists for 2026. And I do hope that's the case because she's been consistently doing her thing for quite a while now, and she has such a commanding presence on that stage. Her voice is top-notch. Look up any live video of her. She sounds just as good on stage as she does on the album. There are no studio theatrics at play with her. She's real, she's authentic, and she just has this presence, both musically and on the stage, that's undeniable. And every one of her albums, I feel like, is just a staircase, each one consistently getting better than the last one, and there's nothing wrong with anything she's ever put out. Here's a test for you. Pick any one of her albums, go to track one, hit play, and enjoy. And yeah, I can't wait to see what 2026 has in store for Ashley McBride. I think it's going to be a year to remember for her. But following that up, I'm going to go with a song that, I don't know, if you're a fan of this artist, maybe it'll piss you off. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But his 2025 album, Snipe Hunter, which was produced by Rick Rubin, was maybe a divisive listen if you were a fan of Tyler Childers' music prior to 2025. Rick Rubin is definitely one of those producers that brings out different elements of artists. And I love what he does because, I mean, look, the guy produced Tom Petty's Wildflowers, so one of my favorite albums of all time. Not to mention Beastie Boys' License to Ill, Slayer Seasons in the Abyss, Red Hot Chili Peppers' Blood Sugar Sex Magik. I mean, I can just, the list goes on and on and on. Even when you factor in some of his newer stuff, which might be controversial to fans of those bands, like Metallica's Death Magnetic and Black Sabbath's 13. But over the years, he's had a lot more hits than misses as far as I'm concerned, so I love what Rick Rubin brings to the table here. And from that album, I'm going to go with the song that, in my humble opinion, is one of the greatest songs to come out this year in any genre. Sadly, it didn't make my list last week because I just couldn't find a way to squeeze it in from a musical slash playlisting standpoint. However, I do need to make a note here tonight on this country episode that Bitin' List is one of the best songs to come out in 2025, hands down, hard stop, period. The song is fun, infectious, it's got that touch of bluegrass, a little bit of an attitude to it, there's a stank to the lyrics. I'm not a big TikTok person, but I could see why a lot of people were pulling this song for TikTok videos throughout the year. This song just has that it factor that is completely and utterly undeniable. I mean, and some might not agree with me given some of his earlier work, I think the entire album is incredible, but I'll leave it up to you to decide. However, if you haven't heard Bitin' List yet, you need to stop and remedy that right away because this song is so much friggin' fun. You're going to play it at least 5 or 10 times on repeat before you move on to the next tune. Now, earlier in the episode, I talked about how some of the modern country sounds throw back and hat tip to the 90s. And I think no other song encapsulates that more than the song I'm going to close out with tonight and is my favorite country song of 2025, very, very slightly edging out Bitin' List, even though these songs are back to back on my playlist. So they probably at the end of the day got just as much love. However, this was the one that came on first in the playlist because it was my go-to. And once again, it's a collaboration and it's a mashup and it's a song within a song. So it touches on modern country and dips into nostalgia hardcore. And I'm perfectly okay with that because back in the 90s, I would have discussions with my college buddies about if Hootie and the Blowfish were actually country or country rock or rock, where they stood in the musical spectrum. Because back in the 90s, some Hootie and the Blowfish songs were played on country radio. So here we are in 2025, and Scotty McCreery puts out the song Bottle Rockets featuring Hootie and the Blowfish and incorporating, literally weaving in elements of Hootie's Hold My Hand into the single. But it's not done in a way that borrows the song as an interpolation. They are actually calling out the song as Hold My Hand in the lyrics. Scotty is saying, I picked up my guitar and sang, boom. And the two work so well together that it is literally a song within a song. And they weave in and out between Scotty's tune and Hold My Hand, as well as both songs happening simultaneously, and the vocals of Hootie and the Blowfish in 2025 are just as lush and full as they were in 1995. And we're at the point in 2025 where a song from 1995 is hitting that peak nostalgia moment. I don't know what the actual time frame is for a song to hit peak nostalgia. However, in 2025, I can tell you that songs from 1995 are hitting it for me personally. So I'm going to go with 30 years. However, considering how many anniversary releases they put out and re-releases, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I mean, unfortunately, this year there's been some 5 months, 6 months, 7 month deluxe editions. But that being said, your mileage may vary. This is one of those songs that every time we went to the beach with my family this year, this song got played, and it got played over and over again, and it never got old for me. Yes, it's leaning into that peak nostalgia hardcore for people that are my age, so bravo for Scotty for leaning into that and doing it the right way by bringing the original artist into the fold and not just sampling the original song. I think that might have done a disservice. So actually having Hootie and the Blowfish come and re-record parts for this song, I feel makes it feel fresh and rejuvenated and new. And I can say with 100% certainty, it's going to be something that I enjoy thoroughly throughout 2026 as well. Because there's just something about it that works so well as an original, as well as the magic that the mashup brings to the table. However, Hold My Hand is a classic Hootie and the Blowfish song. But I also bet there's a younger audience, maybe some of Scotty's fans, that might be, I don't know, hearing Hootie and the Blowfish for the first time. And going back to Crack View Mirror in 2025 is not a bad listen. If you haven't done it in a while, I highly suggest you go back and give that album a listen, because it's definitely a good one. So closing out this second half of my Country Songs of 2025 playlist is Larkin Poe's Mockingbird, followed up by Shinedown's Searchlight, their first foray into country music, Brandon Lake featuring Jelly Roll's Hard Fought Hallelujah, Ashley McBride's Rattlesnake Preacher, Tyler Childers Bitin' List, and Scotty McCreery featuring Hootie and the Blowfish Bottle Rockets. Head over to myweeklymixtape.com to hear all the songs I've discussed in this mix through the playlist embedded on the episode page. Now, is there a country song that I didn't talk about tonight that you feel should be included in the Country Songs of 2025 discussion? I want to hear from you. MyWeeklyMixtape@gmail.com. You can find me on all the social media haunts at MyWeeklyMixtape. You can also use the contact page at MyWeeklyMixtape.com, or you can come join the fellow mixtapers at Patreon.com/MyWeeklyMixtape. It's free to join. And I also have several tiers available if you'd like to support the show a little extra, but none of that is required. Once again, that's patreon.com/myweeklymixtape. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube, please give the show a thumbs up, hit the subscribe button, leave a 5-star review, do all the things. That helps other people find the show in order to keep this conversation going well into 2026. Once again, my name is Brian Colburn. This is My Weekly Mixtape, and I hope you enjoy listening to the 12 songs I feel helped define country music in 2025. We'll see you next week.